You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode of Good Job Brain was recorded in the scintillating city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Enjoy part one of Viva Las Vegas!
Freaks and Flapdoodle fans, welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 98, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your gaggle of gregarious, gambling, gluttonous gadflies.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Hey, did we ever talk about what a flapdoodle is?
Did we?
Yeah.
I think we might have.
It's nonsense.
Oh. A bunch of stuff.
I don't know. It sounded kind of delicious.
Maybe like flapjacks.
Yeah,
flapjack right, and right, snickerdoodle.
Right. Or yeah. Cheese, yeah. Cheese doodles.
Yeah.
What are cheese doodles?
They're like cheese puffs. Or like not Cheez-Its. Or cheese nips, but they're like
they're
cheese.
They're second tier.
What are cheese nips?
They're like Cheez-Its.
Yeah. They're like Cheez-Its. Look at Karen's face. She's like, you said a bad.
They're not.
They don't look like that.
No, they're squares. They're triangles. So a flapdoodle is you take the pancake batter and then you put in the cheese doodles.
Crushed up or whole,
Chicago style.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Versus Memphis style.
Right, you should mix some bacon and maple syrup in there.
Again, it's very regional how you do it. And then you just cook them. So try that, kids.
Ooh. Everyone thinks their grandma's flapdoodles are the best.
The secret, little bit of mayonnaise in the pan before you start.
Ew.
So we host a trivia show here.
Just in our off hours.
Usually full of actual facts.
Well, I want to introduce our sponsor for the episode.
Before they start to regret it.
We're in Vegas, by the way.
Yes. We just ate a giant buffet. Yeah,
I know. We're drunk on food.
Yeah. And honey lavender champagne.
And yes, thank you to our sponsor, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create stunning websites. I don't know if you guys caught it, but they had a Super Bowl
ad. I did see that.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I wanted to like tell people I was sitting with, like, they purchase ad space in my sector.
Like the economy.
Yeah. We're like the Super Bowl.
We are just like the Super Bowl.
Exactly like the Super Bowl. We scored almost as many points in the Super Bowl
as one of the teams
in the Super Bowl.
So I've been using Squarespace for my own stuff since like 2009, which was... How many years? Five years ago. What's the math on that? And now they're on TV during the big game, and it's kind of like when you follow a small band.
Right.
You listen to them, and then you hear them in the radio.
Such a hipster, Karen.
I felt a little warm when I saw the commercial. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Good job, Squarespace. So for a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the code BRAINYVEGAS.
Nice.
That is BRAINYVEGAS.
Ice-T uses Squarespace.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Super Bowl, too.
He is like the Super Bowl.
We're just like Ice-T, guys.
Right. Yeah. Welcome to Good Job Brain. Yeah. It's Ice-T and the Super Bowl all in one.
Yay. Before we start, I want to share this because it is topical. This just happened. So in America, the Tonight Show, big deal, kind of a staple for average American household.
Not a big deal in any other country.
No, it is not.
Right.
And of course, Jay Leno is stepping down.
Jimmy Fallon. Again.
Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon is stepping up. Our old trivia teammate Rob sent me this link and is a genuine study released by the Center for Media and Public Affairs at the George Mason University. So what they did was they identified out of every joke that Jay Leno has done, who were the main targets for his entire career.
Wow.
So it covered 43,892 jokes about public figures and public affairs from 1992 through January 24th, 2014. Can you guys guess what the top three political joke targets?
Bill Clinton.
I was going to buzz in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Bill Clinton is number one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Of course.
George W. Bush.
Correct. Yeah. Number two.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that's not a bad guess.
Close. Number three is Al Gore.
Al Gore.
Okay.
4,607 jokes about Bill, Bill Clinton.
About Bill Clinton.
Yeah. How many about Al Gore?
1,026.
Oh man. Not so really even close.
Yeah. No. And then they also did another list, and I'm sure this is going to come up in trivia at some point. The top 20 celebrity joke targets.
Oh, okay. Man.
Guess Paris the top Hilton. Three.
Lindsay
close,
Lohan?
But no. No Lindsay Lohan.
Top three.
No
top
Paris
three.
Hilton.
Over that whole time period.
Whatchamacallit?
Don't forget, they're all kind of related to a scandal.
Right.
Or
right.
Is it? Okay. Prime.
What's or... what was the guy's name? Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant.
No.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes. O.J. Simpson. Number one.
Number one.
795 jokes. Okay. Number two, Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
505 jokes. And number three, Martha Stewart.
Oh, of
really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When she had the whole the insider trading.
But
thing.
How many jokes about Martha Stewart?
208.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So like less than half than O.J. Simpson jokes. So I just thought that was a
that is good. Yeah. Wow. All right. So Bill Clinton and O.J. Simpson are number one.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's start with our general trivia segment.
Hold on.
What?
Sorry, I'm going to hijack the show here with
on the show, so you don't have to hijack.
You can just do whatever.
I don't think you know what hijack means. I have a pre-pop quiz. Pop quiz.
Oh.
And I have a true pop quiz. This was unannounced, so you guys are all looking so nervous now. So we are, of course, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, like many cities, of course, has a Spanish name. So I'm sure that you guys, as trivia lovers, before we came here, looked up and can tell me what does Las Vegas mean in English? Oh, very quickly.
Yes.
Aina.
It's the meadow.
It is the meadows. Oh. The meadows.
Where's my buzzer?
Oh,
it's right there.
I thought it was going to be like Suzanne Vega and then Vega from Street Fighter.
There's two of them.
The two of them.
So Vegas.
The Vegas. Yeah.
Yes. Point to Dana. Well done.
All right. The meadow?
The meadows.
Yeah.
Meadows.
Yeah. Las Vegas. It's floral. Las Vegas.
Right.
But isn't the desert?
It is the desert, but it's
ironic.
Yes. It's sort of...
just kidding.
it relates to some of the earlier agricultural history of the region.
Right.
It goes way back.
You just schooled me. Can we go back to normal pop quiz?
Yes. So we now resume regularly scheduled pop quiz.
Wow.
Thank you. All right. I have a random Trivial Pursuit card here. You guys have barnyard buzzers. Let's start. Blue Wedge for geography. What country is home to Alexandria, Aswan, and Luxor? Luxor again? Two shows in a row.
Hey.
I believe that is Egypt.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Even though Luxor is down the street from us.
Yes.
Yes.
No. We had a question last episode.
We did.
All right. Pink Wedge for pop culture. What are the last names of Radar, Hawkeye, and Hot Lips on the TV series MASH?
Colin.
All right. Radar, O'Reilly.
Wow, yes.
Hawkeye, Pierce,
I believe.
And Hot Lips, Houlihan.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's a tough question because you got to know all of them.
All three.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of MASH.
Hot Lips, Houlihan.
I like Hawkeye, Pierce. Like, he has a piercing gaze. So it's like,
you can remember
Hawkeye,
that.
Pierce.
Yeah. Radar, O'Reilly is...
And then Houlihan. Starts with H-O, just like Hot Lips.
I think on the show, this may be getting a little too deep. I think on the show he was named Benjamin Franklin Pierce. You can edit that out if that's not even close to being correct.
Cool. I'm just going to spew out stuff and just cut it out.
Yeah, just, you know, just doctor it later.
Fix it in post. Just put a computer voice.
Hot Lips Houlihan had three boobs. Take that out if it's not true.
I'm just covering my bases.
Two boobs.
All right, next question. Yellow Wedge. British sailors were issued a daily ration, or, quote, tot, of what drink for about 300 years. Chris.
Is it rum?
Yes.
Okay.
Daily rum rations were abolished by the Royal Navy in 1970.
Boo.
Well, they were like, you're drunk all the time. It's hard to get stuff done.
All right, Purple Wedge. What children's book begins? Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy.
Oh, sad.
Dana.
Is this The Giving Tree?
Yep.
Oh.
By Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
I guess it's bittersweet.
There you go. Bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Green Wedge for Science. What legume lends its name to that of a hip-hop group? Everybody.
Black-eyed peas.
Correct. All right, Orange Wedge, last question. What NBA Legends movie career included Airplane and a duel with Bruce Lee in Game of Death?
Yeah.
Colin?
That is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who played himself in Airplane. It was sort of.
Yes, yes, yes. They imply that it is him.
Good job, brains. All right, let's start this train of Vegas. Oh, I guess we're in Vegas. Let's start our Vegas show. Here we go.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Okay, so Las Vegas, of course, is known for many things, but top of the list, I think probably safe to say, is gambling. So I thought
I would agree.
I thought I would start
putt-putt golf.
Yeah, putt-putt golf. Okay. Remind me not to play putt-putt golf with you. You sound like a shark. I put together a quiz about gambling in general. About gambling in general and casino games a little more specifically. So terminology, history, fun stuff, fun facts.
All right.
About it's the funny casinos because we've out of all of around. Us,
you're the guy who's super into it. Like, I'll play slots because I like shiny things on the screen.
I do enjoy, I like playing blackjack and I like playing craps and I try to approach it with a very rational mind. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's just entertainment. All right. So let's get started with one. I think if you guys have been paying attention to our own show over the last years, you might get this one.
I have not.
This,
yeah.
This was the casino game of choice for secret agent James Bond in Ian Fleming's classic 007 stories. Chris.
Roulette?
Not roulette.
What?
It is a card game. Karen.
Wait.
Karen
did you not watch Casino Royale?
No.
Poker.
It is not poker.
What?
You give a conditional semi-point here. Dana, you want to take a guess here?
So it is card related.
It is card related.
Is it Baccarat?
Yes.
Is it Baccarat?
Whoa.
Yes, Dana got
Baccarat?
It.
Baccarat?
Baccarat. Yes, the original James Bond game of choice as featured in Casino Royale, the first novel, many of the early movies was Baccarat.
Baccarat.
And Karen, I think what you are thinking of is when they did the reboot, when they did the 2006 version of Casino Royale. Daniel Craig, they changed it from Baccarat to poker.
Because that was hot.
Texas Hold'em?
Yes.
That's big. That was big then.
Baccarat, it just reminds me of really old, rich people. So that was why I guess that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the connotation he was going for. It fits for a European spy.
That's right.
The original name of this popular casino game is the French word for toad, inspired by the position players often assumed when playing the game informally on streets or sidewalks. Chris.
This is craps.
This is craps.
Yes.
Yes. Craps.
Wait, because they were squatting like toads
craps,
or squatting like the
craps
they were
comes
taking
from,
a toad.
Craps comes from the French word crapaud, C-R-A-P-A-U-D, which means toad. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of an allusion to you sort of squatting on the street, pitching dice.
Craps comes from?
Craps comes from, oh, the game. Yeah.
No, the poop.
No. Different.
Oh.
Different.
Oh, okay.
Different root. There is one small but crucial difference between an American roulette wheel and a European roulette wheel. What is that difference? Karen?
I only know this because you told me days ago. In American roulette wheel, there is a 00, and in the French one, there is no 00.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah! Yeah.
What is there instead of a 00?
Well, so a European or a French-style roulette wheel just has one single green zero.
Okay.
An American-style has the single green zero and the double green zero.
Okay.
Now, I mean, it seems like a small difference, and that's how they can get away with it.
You're, the probability.
You're doubling the house edge on the most common bets, on the red, black, on the odd, even bets. Yeah.
Because you're affecting all the other bets, too.
Yep. It makes a big difference. Yeah, they don't really advertise it, though, as doubles the house edge.
Right.
This is America.
Most casinos, at least the high-end casinos, you can find some European-style, French-style roulette wheels, if you ask. But you gotta, as I say, you gotta know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I would like you to take the worst deal.
Right.
Let's stay at the roulette wheel for a minute. Quickly to review, as I said, there are the numbers 1 through 36 and 1 or 2 zeros, depending where you are. All right, you guys have 10 seconds. I want you to tell me, what is the sum total of adding up all the numbers on the roulette wheel? And I will give you a very small hint if you need it. But
no, don't
all right,
hint.
10 seconds.
Wait, it's 1 through...
1 through 36.
Okay.
and a couple zeros.
Okay.
Is it a round number?
It's a number that has some significance outside of gambling.
500.
Time's up. Let me see your numbers. Take a guess. Karen is furiously writing away.
I got it.
Awesome. Yes, you got it. That's fantastic. Chris did not get it. Chris wrote something I can't read on the air. It is 666.
Really?
Yes.
Math is cool.
Yeah.
So, quick trick, 1 plus 36, you pair it that way because then 2 plus 35, they all equals 37.
They all equals 37.
How many pairs are there? They're 18 because it's half of 36.
Right,
so
37
times 18.
Karen, you are truly a mathlete. You solved it, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, the number of the beast, as to be found on adding up the total digits on the roulette wheel, 666.
Huh.
And it doesn't matter if the zeros are two zeros because it's zero.
Right. I'll check that math later, but I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah,
pretty sure. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to...
I don't know. Wait, no.
two zeros.
Yes.
Fact checker Chris. If you wanted to place a parlay bet, what part of the casino would you typically be in?
The pirate ship.
I was going to write it down. Yeah. If I wanted to place a parlay.
I know parlay what bet. A parlay
what
bet generally is.
What part of the casino would you be in? Karen.
Sports.
Yes, you would be in the sports book.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. Parlay generally is?
Is something I watched from Silver Linings Playbook. It's basically you bet on two separate things. You end up betting on two different events, and you have to win both.
Right, exactly.
Oh, is that what
it is? A parlay is two or more events. It can be three or four. So the classic example is you pick three football games, and if all three of them are winners, you win more than you would have won if you placed three individual bets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. High risk, high reward.
It's like together.
Yeah.
Package bundle
deal.
That's right. Wow, this is like Slumdog Millionaire.
I know, man.
Like all these things.
You're all over it.
Yeah.
Let's move to the blackjack table, my favorite card game.
Yes. We're just sitting here.
So at the
movie.
You're breaking the illusion, Karen. At the blackjack table, what does it mean when we say someone is sitting at third base? Third base at the blackjack table.
You're touching somebody's boobies.
I think that's second base.
I don't know.
Incidentally, you will get kicked out of most casinos if you touch someone's boot at the table.
Right. Okay. Even your own. And I don't know this.
I'll give you a hint. There's also a first base. So on the blackjack table, Chris.
Okay. Is first base the person who is immediately like to the left of the dealer?
Yeah.
And then second base, third base.
You've got it pretty much. Yeah, right. Yeah, you really don't talk about first base, third base. First base is the person who acts first.
Yeah.
The person right to the dealer's left. Third base is the person who acts last.
Yeah.
And depending on, your attitudes on gambling, you can imagine how a, heavy air quote here, wrong decision by someone in either of those spots can make other players angry.
Oh, man.
Like, if you had played the right way, I would have gotten this part.
But that's false, right? I mean, there is no right, wrong way. You don't play for the table. All that stuff is...
Okay. People who don't really understand random distribution.
Well, that baseball analogy is not very good because I've seen more than four people at a table. Yeah. Then you get to like fifth base and you're like, that doesn't make sense.
That's why you just pin it at first and third.
Okay.
Yeah. It also kind of, you're at the corners.
One and three.
They're in the wrinkle in time. They're in the nether zone. The space doesn't,
the zero zone.
Yep.
Let's agree it's an imperfect analogy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
All right, last question for you guys here. In the gambling world, what significant event in the history of gambling took place on January 1st, 1998?
Significant.
This is not necessarily specific to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Like actual betting, not like a crime that happened.
Right, not a crime. It is in the gambling world. 1998. The year is very key.
Yeah.
Late 90s.
What was happening a lot of in the late 90s?
Grunge music.
What technology?
Yeah.
Oh, is this like Y2K bug related?
Yeah,
no.
January 1st, 1998 was the first online money poker game.
Interesting.
Yes.
That is not illegal.
This was still the Wild West as far as online gambling is concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, Planet Poker debuted January 1st. They had over a year of build-up of kind of testing the systems and making sure they had enough people ready to go. But on that day, they launched the first real money game, and they were successful for a while. Like a lot of the other online poker companies, they made some pretty big changes to the laws in the mid-2000s, today they're not running real money games anymore. All right. Well, that was a pretty good job, guys.
Thanks.
So the four of us just walked down the Las Vegas Strip over to the Caesar's Palace buffet.
Oh my god!
We did not walk back.
We did not walk back.
Waddle back.
We would have been physically unable to. But we walked past all the very famous hotels here in the Strip area of Las Vegas, where all the huge hotels are. So I have a quiz about basically the names of a lot of the hotels. Oh. So many of the answers. Let's say all of the answers will be the names of these hotels.
Right.
Just to see if you guys were paying attention as we walked down the street.
I was eyes on the pies. I was thinking about buffet.
I know. Every moment is a chance to study for Good Job Brain Quiz.
I'm going
to
say Colin and Karen like Vegas much more and have been here many more times than I ever have.
Well, let's see how well
I'll
you guys
very
do.
Quiet.
And some of these important to remember, the Strip hotels are defined as the hotels whose, like, you know, front area of the building is like on the street that is the Las Vegas Strip.
Boulevard,
so there's a lot of hotels
yeah.
that are near us. But are not Strip hotels.
Right.
They're just off the Strip,
yeah.
but they are not Strip hotels.
Strip
for
hotels,
purposes.
Not stripper hotels.
Not stripper,
no,
not
yeah.
hotels where people strip, although
probably
pretty much all of them
sure.
are. Yeah, yeah. right. Yeah. yeah.
When you have to all take right. a shower.
So
I mean,
every
from,
hotel.
I mean, from
among other reasons.
So question one.
All right.
Buzzing in?
Yeah, buzz in. Based on its name, I'm not sure if this hotel is really even here. Dana.
Oh, the Mirage.
The Mirage.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. I was like, this is, why aren't you doing your research
there? These two Strip hotels have names that are evocative of popular beverages. Karen?
The Cosmopolitan.
Yes.
Hooters.
Maybe a brand of something you might drink in the morning?
Mimosa. No.
Oh, the Tropicana.
The Tropicana.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking of booze drinks.
Right, right.
Near what hotel or outside what hotel will you find Oarsmen, Shooters, Super Shooters, and Extreme Shooters?
Oh.
Colin.
Would that be Treasure Island?
It's not Treasure Island.
Mm.
Oarsmen, Shooters, Super Shooters,
oh.
and Extreme Shooters. Colin.
Would that be the Venetian?
It is not the Venetian.
All right, I'm done buzzing in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're out of tries.
Shooters.
They are pieces of a certain kind of technology. Dana.
Is this the Bellagio?
This is the Bellagio.
Oh, the Fountain!
Those are the four water nozzle types used in the famous Bellagio fountain show.
Drinks.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
I was thinking it was like a ship rigging or something, but nope, shooters.
All right.
Yeah, they shoot water.
Huh.
There are no fewer than 8 hotels on the Strip whose names are evocative of, or who share the names of, or refer to, different cities around the world.
Okay.
Name as many as you can. Okay, all right, okay. So,
we
can go around the
table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So,
New York.
New York, New York.
Paris.
Monte Carlo.
The Venetian? Out there in Monaco. The Venetian, reversed to Venice.
Treasure Island.
No.
Bellagio.
Bellagio is a town in Italy. That's
yes.
right. Yep.
Well, Luxor is a temple. Is that also
Luxor
a city?
Is a
okay.
city in Egypt.
City. Okay.
Yes. There are two major ones that you are forgetting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood is one.
Okay.
There's one more that is the name of a city.
Mandalay Bay.
Yeah. There we go.
There you
got all 8.
Nice
job.
Nice.
These two Strip hotels are named after people. Karen.
Win.
Caesar's Palace.
Yeah. That technically is a person.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, you're right, actually. I wasn't thinking that, but that's true. Yeah.
I'm guessing you're looking for the Trump.
So the Trump technically is not on the Strip. It is off the Strip.
The MGM.
It is,
Metro
Goldwyn Mayer. Well, yeah, not technically. There's one that has a actual person's
name.
And it's just their name. But there's an apostrophe S.
Binion's is up. It's not Binion's.
No,
they're
that's
downtown.
In downtown. Yep. Yeah.
Harrah's.
Yes, Harrah was a dude. Bally is not someone's name. They actually named the company Bally, the amusement machine company Bally, after Ballyhoo, which was their first game.
Oh.
Yep.
Cool.
The names of these two hotels are words related to the area of musical performance. Dana?
Aria.
Aria.
Yeah.
another hotel right here on the Strip. A word often used in regards to musical performances. Karen.
Encore.
Encore.
Where's the encore? Which one?
By Wynn. It's Wynn
yeah,
Encore.
It's the, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's okay. The Wynns, the twin Wynn. Finally.
This is fun. This is fun?
You like
yeah,
this one? Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I only have one question. So, okay. So finally, these two hotel casinos may have been named by Jimmy Two Times from Goodfellas, who always says everything two times.
New York, New York.
Oh, yeah.
Circus, Circus.
Circus, Circus, and New York, New York.
Yeah. Go get the papers. Get the papers.
Yeah. Of course, what he probably would have said was, I'm going to go to Circus, 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 Circus.
Very good.
Circus, 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 Circus.
I like that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
And welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week we're in Vegas talking about Vegas-y stuff. Well, speaking of hotels, mm-hmm. I mean, that's also one of my favorite parts about Vegas, especially coming as a kid. Everything, I mean, in the 90s, everything was themed. Mm-hmm. Kind of like
yes.
Disney World.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Every hotel is like a really, really strong
yeah.
theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Excalibur.
The cheesy ones they're a minority now,
yeah.
right?
They like, kind of moved away from that.
Yeah. It was the Disneyland
like
for
park.
Adults kind
it
of
is.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. For
it was
sure.
Like
yeah.
Obviously, lots of real estate plans and proposals and ideas mm-hmm. for Vegas hotels. I want to share a list of hotels that were as ideas proposed and actually had concept art, but they're all hotels that never happened officially. Okay. And they were super themed. And I'll share some of the highlights with you because some of these are just really silly. Adam's Family Resort and Casino.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man.
That was an idea.
Like a spooky, gothy hotel.
I could see that being
song.
Like a floor in a casino, or a wing of a casino,
definitely
but not
a
enough
slot
for a
machine.
Whole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it being a single game.
Yeah. Not a whole resort and casino.
Away.
Chris, you'd be happy to hear this one.
What?
This is before the name change. Uh-huh. WWF. Resort and casino.
Mm. I have the UFC fighting here. Like, there's definitely
yeah.
a want
right,
to watch
right,
people
right.
beat each other
yep,
up.
Yeah, they could, like, film a show here. Yeah,
yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another city one. The City by the Bay Hotel.
No. Nope. Ah.
San Francisco.
San yeah. Francisco themed
yeah.
hotel.
We're well, from I mean, there, so we're like, ew.
Yeah,
why
would I don't see it.
It's so
I'm
close.
I'm not seeing
to here.
It.
It's too close.
Like,
that's
it's
the thing.
Too close.
It's too close.
Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco already is fake Fisherman's
yeah,
Wharf.
Yeah, it's
like,
Vegas.
Second, right. Yeah,
Bay.
Second one. Yeah.
This is exactly something like New York with the
yeah.
little mini buildings.
Little fake Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Right, right, right. Oh, no.
Coit Tower.
Yes, cable
stuff.
Cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Cable
yeah.
cars take yeah. you to up to your room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's on a hill.
Yeah.
Yep. Just you have to constantly, yeah, to get to your room, you have to walk up like
everywhere.
7 hills.
Just, and they have the tie-dye.
Yep.
And all, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. This one was weird. This one I showed Chris earlier today. The Titanic Resort.
Oh, that just seems like in poor
Sad.
Taste. That seems just really... Like, yeah,
I'm sure they would have been able to get Celine Dion to sit in residency,
oh
though,
gosh.
You know? And just, that's what would
Sing
perform
that
there.
Song over and
over.
Over
and over.
The concept was rejected by the city council.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're
good.
Like, no.
Good.
Even
good.
This is a bridge too far,
yeah.
even for us.
It's really sad. It's like a tragedy.
It's, it
a,
is.
A
yeah.
If you're going to do a James Cameron movie, I'd rather do the Avatar Hotel.
Yeah.
Probably,
oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is yep. Avatar Land is being built.
Oh, see?
Yep. Where?
In Universal? Animal Kingdom in Walt Disney World Resort.
Oh.
During my marathon, I ran by the construction site.
They're just spraying the tigers blue.
That's so sad. Lastly, a little bit before my time, but I'm familiar with the show. The Beverly Hillbillies Resort.
Come on.
What?
Man.
Yep. So Max Baer, the actor who played Jethro on the TV show, was planning a Beverly Hillbillies themed resort.
No.
And it sounds like a theme park. It has like
the cement pond.
The oil rig thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's all in black and white.
Would have made a good slot machine.
Would have made
the whole hotel. Yeah.
Yep.
So there you go. There are tons of all of these hotel proposals and concept. These are just some of the nutty ones.
Nuttier. So nutty they didn't get built.
Right. We're not building the Beverly Hillbillies casino and resort. Putting my foot down on this one.
Yeah. If you were to stay in a themed hotel at your age right now,
what
is your dream theme hotel?
Of things that like could actually get made.
No,
just like what's a cool theme that
like,
you
wouldn't it be cool if they had a Disney themed Vegas hotel? Wouldn't we be staying there right now if there was one? I think that we would.
We would also be staying at the Harry Potter Hogwarts dormitory hotel.
Man. Oh, and awesome. You have to go into a painting to get into your room. Yeah.
See, like that works though. Like I was gonna say, as much as I love Star Wars, I think a Star Wars casino would be so hopelessly, intractably lame. Like it's just it wouldn't.
Really?
I don't think it would map over. Like would the stormtroopers escort me to like my prison cell room?
It is a time of war.
Yeah. It just I don't know.
Right.
Like, would it be the Death Star?
Star Wars.
Would it be, yeah.
It's in the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Oh, like a 2001, like that era. Like
Space Odyssey?
Yeah, that would be kind of a cool sort of...
Oh, and it's just the big black monolith, basically?
No, I meant like the space scenes. Like, we're on like the cool spaceships and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Without then, the homicidal computer.
Sometimes your room locks you in.
Yeah. Without the AI that's trying to murder you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, you know what? A Willy Wonka one could be cool.
Whoa.
With a Wonka Vader?
But then I was like, I'd probably get tired of being there. But I think it could look cool. Video games? With like pixel things? You wouldn't want to stay in a...
Video game themed hotel?
Yeah.
Just to try. Maybe but one like, day it would I happen. Want yeah. to be at the Hogwarts.
You have like Butterbeer, do all that stuff. Yeah.
Common room. Oh, yeah, they serve Butterbeer.
Yeah, common room is a lounge.
People on this!
And there's the Slytherin dungeon.
Oh, so you have four towers, basically.
Oh,
there are the four houses.
And they can charge you more for Gryffindor.
They would have to balance out
the
demand.
Probably also for Slytherin.
No,
it wouldn't be the cheap one.
Yeah.
But I think Hufflepuff would be the budget one.
If you book with like Orbits or whatever and get a deal, you get a deal, but like they put you in Hufflepuff. Yeah,
yeah. You have a view of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't saying it because of Hufflepuff. I was saying it because of Orbits. I was like, yeah, you're like, oh, that's the best price. And then you get there, you're
right,
I see. So I have a grab bag of random Vegas stories or trivia, things that as I was researching Vegas, they were all like these little bite-sized snippets of things. So first of all, how do you guys spell Caesar's Palace? And I mean, including punctuation. How do you spell Caesar's Palace?
I think there's no apostrophe.
I think Chris is right.
No apostrophe?
No apostrophe. Yeah. That's right. It's Caesars. No apostrophe. And then Palace.
Caesar's Palace.
They're saying all Caesars are welcome.
Yeah. A palace with many Caesars in it. Yeah. And so Jay Sarno, who's the founder of Caesar's Palace, later said it was his intention to do that. He said it was on purpose because he wanted to make sure all guests were pampered like Caesars.
Okay. You're all Caesars.
He's like, sure.
Sure.
All right, number two. Who is the Hoover Dam named for? The Hoover Dam's about 25 miles from Vegas. It's a huge tourist attraction.
Well, the way you're asking makes me think it's
J.
Edgar Hoover.
No, it was named for President Herbert Hoover.
Herbert
Hoover. All
right. I was like, oh, maybe it's not Herbert.
Who's J. Edgar Hoover? He's the FBI guy.
Naming it that wasn't very popular. He was a controversial president, and this was created in the 30s and during the Roosevelt's term, and it was part of the Works Project. There's so much concrete in the Hoover Dam. If you look online, there's all these comparisons like, oh, you could make a road between LA and New York, or you can...
Whoa.
I mean, it's a lot of concrete.
Whoa.
It's massive.
It's massive.
I've never seen it.
Another little trivia tidbit about the Hoover Dam. It was the first government project that used hard hats. Hard hats as we know it. Yes.
Oh, that's a good tidbit. Mm-hmm.
And then after the Golden Gate Bridge came, and then they also used hard hats, but the Hoover Dam was the first.
But before
one.
That.
They had hats, they put tar on them. They were like, oh, we should do something like to like, protect our heads from, from things. All right, here's another thing. Beneath Vegas, there are a series of flood tunnels, and they were put there to protect Vegas from flash floods. Mm. And right now, there is a population of over 1,000 homeless people who live under this city.
Oh, really?
They live in the tunnels under this city.
Hmm. I read about this in an article. They sustain themselves by going into the casino and taking, like, leftover coins or whatever, or, like, payout vouchers and stuff. It's like a whole economy.
Yeah. So, like, if... So, say there were a flash flood. Like,
it's very dangerous.
Okay. Okay.
It's very dangerous. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let me just stop you right there, Colin. It's dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Wayne Newton, also known as Mr. Las Vegas. What's his signature song? Do you know Wayne Newton?
Oh, yes. Donka Shane. Donka Shane.
Donka Shane, yes.
Oh, that's from the movie.
Yes.
Ferris Bueller's.
Ferris Bueller's. Oh, another.
No. From Vegas. Family, National Lampoon.
Oh, Vegas Vacation?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been featured in many, many.
But it's also in Ferris Bueller.
It's definitely in Ferris Bueller, yes. He was the first headliner in residence.
Okay.
You know, like Cher or Celine Dion or Britney. Yes. So Wayne Newton is the very first headliner in residence at one of these hotels here.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely associated with like that 70s classic.
Although he signed a 10-year contract with Stardust in 1999. That's when it started. 1999 is when the headliners in residence started.
So he was popular here before. He just wasn't tied down to it.
Interesting. Oh. I thought we were going to say in the 60s or 70s. Yeah. But no, 1999.
That's really recent.
So his contract was 40 weeks a year, 6 shows a week, and it was for 10 years.
Huh.
But he didn't actually finish it out. He was at the Stardust, and they tore it down.
They did.
So he got out of his contract in 2005 instead of 2009.
He doesn't have to perform in the rubble.
They made him come out to the parking lot.
You signed a contract.
There's no residence. Wanted a clause in the contract that if the hotel was demolished, you didn't have to show up for work. And you said no.
People would still show up.
They would. Outdoor kind of concert.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'm ending this on a dark note, but I thought this was interesting. I mean, it's just getting darker and darker. Vegas used to be called the Mississippi of the West by people because they had segregated hotels until pretty late out here.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't until 1960 that they stopped making it so African Americans couldn't stay in the hotels here. And, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. was kind of a big argument for desegregating the hotels.
Whoa.
Karen, you seem to have been greatly enjoying these slot machines.
Yes. I have.
Yep.
I was very excited. The first big slot machine I saw was the Plants vs. Zombies slot machine, which I was like, Dana, it's your game. They made it into a slot machine. Oh, my God.
They have slot machines for everything now.
Yeah. Walking Dead.
Yep.
Nowadays, like the slot machines, it's not like you don't even have an arm that you push down. It's all electronic. Mm-hmm. And now they have these like fancy designer seats that have rumble and vibrating capabilities and
speakers
Bose
in the headrest.
Surround Bose by your head.
Yep.
And when something happens, the whole chair vibrates and moves and stuff. And so I found this one slot machine that was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or I guess
it's just his Wonka.
Yeah, it's just Wonka theme.
Yeah, but it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie theme.
The old movie with Gene Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to slot machines, no way I'm going to lose money, but I just want to be entertained and see the technology. Mm-hmm. And I'm there, and it was just nuts. Like, there's a part where you get on the elevator, and it feels like you're moving up because you're in a crazy chair. Like, blown away. Mm-hmm. Just blown away. And
sometimes randomly, like, you spin, and instead of spinning the wheels, everything stops, and Oompa Loompas come out, and they sing the Oompa Loompa song.
Yeah,
and that was the most exciting part.
It was the most exciting part. They add wild spaces to the board, and then they, like, they extend the board up into the – because there's two screens, of course. Yeah. And, like, while all this is going on, like, there's clips from the movie are playing, and, you know, video,
so
and music, and from the movie you're appearing.
Yeah, the cutscenes, that's your reward if you hit certain payouts. You get to watch a little 5-second snippet from the movie.
And the best part is, like, the cocktail waitress comes by and gives you free drinks. And I was like, well, I'm down $20, mm-hmm. but it lasted me for an hour, and I got like two beers out of it. I was like, this is so fun.
So kids, you should gamble.
The corporate world is like the ocean. It's alluring, but it's also full of deadly creatures that can shred you to pieces.
It becomes kind of like a Game of Thrones political arena where everyone's trying to murder you to get your job or your title.
As former corporate executives, we know firsthand that navigating corporate waters is not easy.
My family doesn't come from corporate background, so I didn't have any sort of guidance in that.
I wish people would be able to understand in this corporate world that talking about things that don't work or identifying problems does not mean you're a problem.
We'll dive deep into what happens behind fancy corporate doors or Zoom backgrounds or whatever.
Are they really performance improvement plans or just a legal tool to get rid of people?
I know a lot of people have been saved because of them.
We've created a show to help you navigate tricky corporate situations based on research and real-life experience.
I have really good advice. Don't go to a strip club with your team.
Listen to the Ambie Award-nominated podcast, Surfing Corporate.
Well, I mean, so let me pick up from there, and I want to talk a little bit about slot machines. I have a segment I have called Lotsa Slotsa, just because it tickled me. Just because it tickled me to write that down. Yeah. Like, as you said, though, like, the video screens and multi-screens, and I mean, the
touch screens.
Touch screens, you know, it's, some of them do still have the arm on the side, more for nostalgia purposes, but you're right, Karen. I mean, it's all moved to buttons and touchscreen and.
Even the buttons, it's not like just a plastic button with text on it. It's LED.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They little can screens. Change the, like, yeah. They're little screens. The buttons are little screens. Oh, my God.
Yeah, as it turns out, there's a lot of money in gambling. Yeah, you can spend a lot of money to make these things.
Well, it's funny, though. I mean, slot machines, you walk around the casinos now, and they seem huge. I mean, I would say they dominate most of the visual space of when you're walking around. And that really wasn't always the case. I mean, going way back in the early days of the casinos, the slot machines were almost an afterthought. It was kind of like, well, we'll put a few in here to fill some space. It wasn't until they started to be able to get into electronic and now computerized and digitized slot machines that they really took off over the last couple decades because they can fine-tune the payouts, they can fine-tune the odds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about it...
Yeah.
Well, it's...
Well, it is. I mean, when you're sitting at a slot machine, it's not like totally completely random what's going to happen. Like, you know, the machines pay out at a certain... Rate.
Yeah.
They pay it at a rate, but each turn is random.
Well, or, sure. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But on any given turn, yeah, you know, it's not due. Like every 13th roll is not going to be, every 13th roll isn't going to be a certain payout.
Yeah.
But if it makes sense, you know, like the really classic kind of slot machine, like you pull the lever, you've got the three wheels spinning in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's an array of symbols. You're sort of limited with how many payouts you can construct out of just five symbols on three wheels, let's say.
Yeah.
And it is good for the gambler in this sense that when you move into digitized and fully computerized, you can have payouts going diagonals and you can invent an infinite number of symbols or virtually infinite, and you can invent all kinds of new ways to pay out. So the ratio of the potential reward you can get is actually a lot higher now than it used to be on the old timey slot machines. There's just more combinations. They can set something up that has a one in a million chance of appearing, you know. Back to the early days of the casinos, you know, it sounds a little sexist to say this, but there were a lot of thinking in the early days was, oh, slot machines are for the wives while their husbands are at the tables mm-hmm. playing cards. Mm-hmm. There is definitely an element of that. I think it's also just, you know, much more fair to say the slot machines were good for people who were maybe intimidated by the rules of a card table. You just walk up, you put your coin in, you pull a lever, there's no thinking.
Did you win? Did you not win?
Did you win? Did you not win? The history of slot machines I find fascinating. So they're kind of like a late 1800s invention.
Okay.
And they sort of, like, our modern slot machine kind of grew out of two very closely related devices. The first type of machines were conceptually similar. You would put in your coin, try and get a prize, but you weren't winning money. You would be winning
tickets?
Goods.
So what would you win?
Bread and bottles of milk. And I'm just kidding.
Oh,
You are actually.
I was like, old timey goods. What do they want? They want food.
Bread.
Yeah, probably.
When they were first, when they first came on the scene, there was a type of device, known as a trade stimulator, which is not a very sexy, attractive name. No. But these were sort of the province of, like, saloons and cigar shops and, you know, confectionaries and things like that. And you would be playing to win cigars or beers or more candy at the location. And so some of these early machines, you know, would have card faces on them, like poker hands, you know, and you'd be playing like, oh, a pair wins this or a full house wins this. Eventually they kind of simplified it, got into just diamonds, hearts, spades, simplified the things. But Dana, there were many places, particularly places where outright gambling was illegal. You would be playing for fruit, or you'd be playing for fruit flavored gum.
Oh, is that why, like,
that is why the classic, what we now call the classic symbols of the cherries or the watermelons, that has a very direct connection.
You would actually win.
To what you would be playing, yeah, or watermelon-flavored gum.
Right.
So you guys know the bar symbol,
the
very classic,
the
bar. That is actually a visual reference to the logo of the Bell Fruit Gum Company. So that was a gum payout. If you
bar?
Got the bar,
gum.
A bar of gum, a stick of gum.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah, and that's where that comes from. So,
whoa.
Oh my God.
That part of the early devices sort of hung on once it really kind of just moved to cash machine.
What's the seven? I always see seven, you know, because don't you want to get a 777?
Well, as I say, so this is where it sort of brought in some traditions from the card machines, from the goods machines. They took in some numbers, they took in some diamonds, some hearts, they kind of merged it together. There was a San Franciscan named Charles Fay, who generally is credited with the most direct forerunner of our modern cash slot machine.
Okay.
Sometime around 1890, he invented the Liberty Bell machine, which if you were to see one today, it'd be very, you would know what that is. You're like, oh, that's a slot machine. Coins in, depending on the rows of symbols, you get a coin-based payout. From there, it was a pretty much straight development all the way through into the 40s, 50s. It was really around the 50s, 60s when they started to get a little fancier with how they could program odds on the machines and structure the payouts a little bit better. Moving into the 70s, 80s, they could now, you know, they're fully computerized with a microchip in there. And that was when the boom really kind of started to take off of slot machines as, oh, this isn't just totally random. This isn't just the old one-armed bandit. We can do fun theming things and you'd have them themed around games or movies. And
man,
as you know, you got
licensing
hooked.
Deals.
I should say that slot machines actually, on the whole, do return a pretty good percentage of the money that gets put into them.
Oh, yeah.
It lasts long.
In the course of prepping Lotsa, I came across an article in the Wall Street Journal from just 3 days ago. So this is a super current article I had to share with you guys. So despite all of this innovation, despite all the computerized wizardry and slot machines, the single most popular slot machine on the Strip is here at the MGM Grand Hotel, where we are staying, the MGM Grand Casino.
Okay.
It is a relatively older style three-wheel slot machine called the Lion's Share. It's a progressive slot machine. So Chris, we were talking about this last night.
Yeah, as you put in money, there's a progressive jackpot that keeps going up and up and up that somebody could potentially win all of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. And it's a really good, you know, way to draw on customers because you see the little wheel spinning and tells you, oh, and now it's 5,000. Now it's 5,100, and it kind of moves up there. When the MGM Grand Casino opened in 1993, they put in about 50 slot machines called the Lion's Share. The major jackpot payouts are lion symbols. If you line up like the three lions, right? Over the years, they've mostly gone away, but there is a single one Lion's Share machine still on the casino floor.
Oh!
This Lion's Share progressive jackpot slot machine has not paid a jackpot in almost 20 years.
Wow.
It has been building and building and building and building. The top jackpot currently sits at $2.3 million.
Can we go find it?
We should go find it.
Why didn't you tell us this earlier?
Because I just found this out last night and I had to share this with you guys. We will go there later. Now, I mean, you guys have heard of the gambler's fallacy of, you know, the idea that things are due.
Right.
And I was like, that is false. That has been proven to be false. Mm-hmm. You know, rational gamblers know this isn't true.
Yeah.
But what is true is the sense that every day this thing doesn't pay off, it is actually a better and better deal to play.
That's right.
Because the cost of entry stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
So as it gets higher and higher and higher, the house edge is going down and going down and going down. So now you might think that, you know, well, word's going to get out about this thing and it's going to be a little popular. It is so popular, people wait in line to play the machine. It is so popular, people travel here from other cities yearly to play the machine. It is so popular, it has passed down a multi-generational family tradition. The article interviews, my father played on this machine, and now I've taken on the tradition. It's been 20 years. Yeah. 20 years that this thing has been building and building and building.
Now, can you just sit there as long as you want to play it? Or
it won't surprise you to hear, like, a whole community and a whole set of ethics and practices has sprung up around this machine. This machine has its own Facebook page. Like, this machine, there are online forums dedicated to this one machine. And, you know, they'll update people like, oh, there was a two-lion payout, you know? And people are is it going to go? Is it going to go?
Yeah.
And again, I mean, there's so much money in there that even the relatively minor payouts on this machine can be in the thousands of dollars.
I don't care about it. I just want to touch it. Like, I mean, to be part of the experience.
We'll have to post a photo for sort of the general accepted rule is as you can sit and play until you run out of money. But if you have to get up and go get more cash, you give up your turn to the next person in line. Or if you're just too tired and your 3 days vacation is over and you need to go back home. Mm-hmm. So it's people are camping, sitting, waiting on this machine.
Wow. We have to go see it.
I this is just so fantastic. And so as I say, they've kept it there. It's the last one. The MGM casino officials, they swear they have not touched the odds. They've never tampered with it. Mm-hmm. You know, they take it offline occasionally to do service. Mm-hmm. But they say they have not changed any of the payout odds.
I mean, that's the thing. One day it will pay out for somebody.
One day it will pay out.
It will pay out.
It is widely believed and accepted that whoever does get that eventual jackpot payout will get to keep the machine.
That's even better.
A lot of
because what do they need the machine for anymore? Because nobody's going to play it anymore once it finally pays out.
That's right. And it resets back.
I want to play it. Sure, jackpot's nice, but like I want the machine in my house.
It's not like a gigantic machine or anything. It's just
it's a little larger than your average slot machine, but you know, you could walk right past it if you didn't notice the line of people standing there.
Cool. All right, and that is our Vegas show part one. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And a special thank you to our sponsor, Squarespace, at squarespace.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.